Welcome back to the Political Checklist here on the Rundown blog. I'm David Chalian, our political editor, joined by senior correspondent Gwen Eiffel, senior correspondent Judy Woodruff, and it's a delayed political checklist this week because we wanted to mark the one-year anniversary of President Obama signing the health care reform law, signing the bill into law. It's also the one-year anniversary, I guess, when Joe Biden called it a big effing deal.
and thanks got for caught reminding
on,
us about
on microphone
that.
At that ceremony.
Vice President Biden, thanks you for that.
But actually, I want to sort of key off of Joe Biden thought, actually, this was going to be a huge deal. And the line we heard from Democrats a year ago, Judy, was as soon as everyone starts learning what's in the bill,
right,
it's going to become popular. That has not been the case.
It has not been the case. Many Americans, even people who are disposed favorably toward the idea of the bill, still say they're confused. Many people say they don't really fully understand what's in it. And I think that's one of the reasons it's been so hard for the administration to move the needle on this. If you look at public opinion polls, they're just about exactly where they were when it passed. The country is about evenly split, a little bit of an advantage to those who are against it. This has been a hard slog for the administration. They are having to sort of claw their way through this issue day after day, just like they were before they passed it.
Gwen, that is not because there's been a lack of effort to try to move the needle on either side. I mean, hundreds of millions of dollars in television ads that some focused on this issue in 2010, outside group efforts, grassroots efforts. We've seen a ton of activity from both sides to try to move the needle. And I can't think of another public policy huge debate like this that just stuck in place like that.
Well, I think it more than stuck in place. It's stuck in place because the people who decide to move the needle against it are the ones who are winning. If you get to label it, you get to win it. They labeled it Obamacare. You can pretty much tell if you call it Obamacare, you don't like it. If you call it the Affordable Care Act, you like it, but nobody calls it the Affordable Care Act. And that's part of the problem. It's been definitional. The White House has not been able to get a take ahead of it, partly because of the design. A big, big law like this wasn't going to take effect right away. And so there was very little they could point to. If you look at the number of people, for instance, who were able to keep their children on their policies, one of the big things they touted, not that many people took advantage of that part of the bill.
Up to 26 years old.
They can't even tell you how many people benefited. So unless you can make the argument people benefited from this, to people who say that it's costing too much money, that promises were broken, which is what the Republicans are saying, they win the day because they've got the sharper argument.
It's a lesson, I think, for future administrations and future presidents. When you take on a big, complicated issue like this with a big, one-size-fits-all piece of legislation, you're asking for trouble. When folks who are smart can't explain what's in the bill, in the law, and that remains the case today.
I think Gwen's point is fascinating because it seems that we don't, maybe because it is so few people that are affected by these things, the 26, the closing the donut hole for a lot of seniors,
right,
the certain things that have gone into effect already. Obviously, in 2014, when these insurance exchanges open and the 32 million currently uncovered all of a sudden have access to insurance, you might imagine that the debate will change at that point.
Well, but keep in mind what happens between now and 2014. That's 2012. And so in 2012, there are going to be a lot of people who are interested in redefining this again, not least of them Mitt Romney, who is as governor of Massachusetts, put in place a program not so different from this and now is peddling as fast as he can in the opposite direction. The administration is interested in reminding Governor Romney that he had a hand in this. On the other hand, everybody else is trying, all the other candidates that are the would-be candidates are trying to figure out where they stand on this. And if, for instance, the administration were be able to make an argument that this was a huge benefit sometime between now and 2012, which I don't quite see what the new argument is, then they could use it as an advantage. But other than that, they're hoping it just doesn't become an issue.
The other point I would make, David, is that much of this law is implemented at the state level.
Nice.
And what you've had is a number of new Republican governors elected in this country in 2010. And as Gwen said, in 2012, there's a presidential election, there'll be more governor elections. If more Republicans take over these states, they will determine how this law is implemented or not at the state level. And we're already seeing, not just in the courts, but administratively, efforts to slow the thing down.
A lot of those Republican governors have signed on to those lawsuits, have their states signed on to the lawsuits that you're talking about. And I think also that's part of what's been going on. We're looking at the court action. We're looking at states applying for waivers.
And
it's all about how not to have the law implemented, right? The defunding effort on the Hill, the repeal effort. And the White House has just not been able to tell a story. And you may be right that they may not be able to tell it until past the 2012 election, should they get reelected.
If you're an average voter, you can be forgiven for being confused, which half of them clearly are, about what's in this bill and about whether it helps them. Confusion does not help the White House.
Okay. I want to turn to one other topic because we haven't had a checklist in a little bit, which is obviously Libya, dominating everything right now. Sort of third war in a Muslim nation that the United States is engaged in now. And I just want to get your guys' take on this. It seems to me that the president is trying to have this a couple different ways, which is always tricky. He wants to be seen as bringing an international coalition together and that the United States is going to hand this over and step back. And yet, he also wants to be seen as sort of the decisive commander-in-chief that is clearly explaining America's interest in this military conflict. How does he do both of those?
If you're the president of the United States, you're in a lot of cases where you can't win. And in this case, if he didn't act, the specter of things like Rwanda hung over this administration, and a lot of the people within the administration who argued for intervention are people who think that we have not intervened enough in important humanitarian struggles in Sudan or Rwanda or other places. The other side of that, however, is once you decide to do that, you have to justify it, and that's what's been lacking so far, and that if you say that the reason we needed to stop this is because Gaddafi was going to hurt people, then you have to look around the world and say, where else does that same idea apply as a standard for intervention? And so what the administration has done is said, we're not intervening, everybody's intervening, and we're part of it, and it's a hot potato, which we're happy to pass off to NATO, except that starts all kinds of other debates. So it's not at all simple.
It's no win either way for him. Before the administration, before President Obama was on board to get involved, he was being criticized for being timid, for holding back, for not helping in this terrible humanitarian crisis unfolding. Once the decision was made to get in, he was criticized for getting in, as Gwen said, when maybe we're not getting in other places where we should be. It comes with the job. You're going to be criticized no matter what. They are going to be walking a tough line throughout the time that we are involved militarily.
You both cited
in Libya.
A humanitarian crisis is what brings us there. And to me, that means that he still hasn't explained to the American people what America's national security interest is in this.
I would not be surprised if sometime between now and the end of the week we hear from the president again on it.
I wouldn't be surprised either. And a year from now, we can sit right back here on the second year anniversary of the health care bill, maybe have
and
a Republican presidential nominee, and see if the needle has moved on
that
in either way.
Maybe.
We'll see.
Gwen Ifill, Judy Woodruff, thank you very much. We'll be back with another checklist here next week.